Hi, folks. This is Morton Dunn with another episode of the Car Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode 64. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the blog and show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. So today, the insane ramblings of a guitar geek being broadcast from my mobile podcasting studio. That's my Grand Am GT. That's a 2000 model. Yes, my old jalopy. Anyway, it is a balmy like 47, 48 degrees here in Indianapolis. I guess the weather system or the weather is skipping the rest of January and February and March, just going right to April, which, you know, I'm okay with that. However, this morning you're going to have that background noise of the rain hitting the windshield in the car and all that good stuff. Sincerely apologize for that, but in an effort to get content out and my ramblings and to the concept that crappy content is better than no content. Well, it's high quality content, but it's maybe average at best audio quality. Anyway, you get where I'm going, right? So, I've got a bunch of different things I want to talk about today. Imagine that. First, I have my 70s wah pedal that I wired up with a true bypass. Triple pull, double throw, true bypass switch, and amazingly enough, from the Stumac, the Stuart McDonald website, they have instructions, clear instructions on, say, the old style wah pedal, your standard Dunlop type wah pedal, crybaby wah pedal circuit board, and how to wire it up. True bypass, and then one with the PC board, and so mine is coming from the 70s. It's not quite point to point, but it's pretty close. I mean, it looks like, I mean, it's old school. It's cool, and amazingly enough, the first try, basically, whenever I got it, once I found where the right place to ground the final wire, it worked fine. So I was kind of amazed at that, you know. I thought, man, if I could do it, any idiot can do it. So, and then I have an LED to show whenever it's on or off. And when I got to that point and it was going to wire it up, I was pretty tired. It was late at night, and a friend was like, hey, let's see it light up. Just stick this 9-volt battery to it. Not the best idea. I don't recommend doing that, because the voltage needs to be notched down a bit with like a resistor before it ever goes through the LED, or it will smoke it or burn it out and it'll be done. So I need to order some more LEDs for other projects and stuff. And what I thought about doing, just a crazy whim, is to put LEDs all the way down the side of the wah pedal. Not that it's not like obvious that a wah pedal's on when it's on, but you know, why not? Let's have some fun, right? But I haven't gotten that far, and right now I just have a LED sticking out of the side of my wah pedal that works, and but the LED does not. The wah pedal switches on and off and sounds good, sounds great. Nice classic 70s wah, crybaby wah. I love it. Then a friend of mine, he's posting on Facebook that his wah pedal switch. He just wants it back to the way, back to normal, and so on and so forth. But he has a triple pole, double throw, two bypass switch to put in it. And I said, hey, man, I could do that for you. You know, no problem. And so I get a hold of the pedal, and it's one with the PC board with the, you know, kind of the ribbon of wires going into it. And so it's different. It's the modern one. And I look at it and go, oh, great. Then I notice there's a jumper between two of the resistors on the board, and it's been cut, and it's like it's been modded to jump those two together, and then they, I guess they changed their mind. So I left that as is, and I'm going, I don't know, that's kind of weird. I mean, it's not taped off, but there's no real wire exposed on that front. But I get the thing wired up, as I'm wiring it up, the diagram is showing that there are 8 wires going into that ribbon, that connector, that plastic connector to the board. You know, the plastic connector is a technical term for electronics. Obviously, I'm not well-versed in all electronics, but hey, you know, I have solder gun, you know, I am dangerous. Anyway, I got it wired up. Back to the point. The diagram showed 8 wires going in, and his has 10. So I'm going, all right, well, I'm just going to kind of guess and what makes the most sense from the diagram, and I did it. And when I plug it in, it's bypassed, which is not too difficult because it's what... The three post to the four post, something like that. You wire those two together, you jump those two together, and when it's disengaged, that's where how it bypasses the system. But when I engage it, I get this nice big, and so I'm getting signal through. But there must be a short somewhere. I did something wrong. So. What was going to take one evening to do has been, you know, I've had the pedal for about 2 weeks, and I feel kind of like a bum for not being able to figure this out yet. So I recruited a friend. We're gonna look it over. He's done a wah pedal with that kind of PC board before, so that's going to help out. But it's like just that final thing to be sure that it's right, you know, and what's missing, what's wrong. There's that needle in the haystack type of a thing. But, yeah, once I get that done, I'll feel better. I'll give you an update on that. Wow, it's hot in here.
It's getting hot in here.
My wife hates it when I sing that song. So he was talking about getting that LED in there too, and I said, well, let me figure this part out first and figure out doing the LED on mine before we do it on yours, which, you know, that's not going to be too big of a deal, but, you know, first I want to get it working again for him. So I had to humbly update him on my lack of skill at this point to be able to wire up his pedal right. So, yeah, I feel great about myself right now. I felt great about myself after I wired up mine and it was working and it sounded great. And I played a bunch of Alice in Chains and stuff and I was like, yes! And I guess I was a bit too confident going into this second wah pedal. But, but it's been fun. So then, on to the next topic. I went to the Columbus Guitar, the Winter Guitar Show, Columbus, Ohio, over the weekend, and it's like the biggest, coolest guitar show in the Midwest. I don't know how many vendors were there. I'd want to say 200, maybe 200 tables. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun. Got up early in the morning and drove there. It's about a 3-hour drive from Indianapolis to Columbus, and it's the northeast side of Columbus, so it's just that much further. And we get there on time, waited in line in the cold, and I brought a I brought an effects pedal with me to sell or trade or whatever. And, you know, if I got, you know, if I got anywhere between 100, I mean, between 80 and 120 bucks for it, I would have been, I was fine. I was fine with that. So, but I had to wait in a separate line to get it checked so that it didn't look like, you know, I was stealing something, or I had to have a tag on it, basically. And so there are a lot of guitars, a lot of, not as many amps. There was a Dr. Z dealer there, so that was cool. So if you don't have Dr. Z in your area and you want to see all this stuff and check out some Dr. Z amps, they were there. A lot of vintage guitars, a lot of odd guitars. Like, let's see, what would be the best term? Kind of craft guitars or kind of folk art guitars, where they've carved the bodies in unique shapes and stuff, and then hammered on metal and such on them, and just kind of really odd guitars. I didn't play any, and but I mean, it's just not really my thing. But I did find it interesting that all of them were. He had his price tag was like $2,000 for each one, and you know, it was really kind of odd. I didn't take pictures of them. Probably should have taken more pictures as I was going around. And kind of skimmed the place at first, because I was basically looking to see about a trade for like a chorus or a flanger pedal for my distortion pedal. And I talked to a few different people, and then finally I come upon a guy, and he was like, "So what are you asking?" And we agreed on $90 for the pedal, and I was cool with that. And I was just kind of keeping my eye out for another pedal, or maybe I just go home with extra $90 in my pocket, which is fine. You know, more than covers the time and food and all that stuff for the day. And but yeah, I got 90 bucks for it, and I continue on kind of looking for pedals and stuff. I was really kind of looking for a flanger or a chorus pedal in about that price range. And then again, maybe beyond that, a greenback speaker and either a 1 or a 212 sealed up cabinet to go with my screaming awesome Getchell amp that just goes from zero to face melting, soaring, searing, molten metal tone. Like the good, you know, it's not death metal tone, it's more like Back in Black, AC/DC, and the Dirt album, Alice in Chains, kind of metal. I mean, it's really, that's an awesome amp. Of course, if you roll back on the volume, it does. Anyway, I digress. I didn't find, there weren't a whole lot of cabinets there that really interested me. No greenbacks. I saw a couple old Plexi Super Leads, and those were, all the tags on those were around about $1,900 or $2,000, somewhere around in there. So those are really cool. The thing is, the trend really is towards the lower wattage amps. So I went out there with my buddy Mike and Alex, and Alex runs a recording studio, and we were talking about amps a little bit, and about, you know, he runs that recording studio and really prefers the lower wattage amps in there than the high watt loud amps. And I mean, he'd still record them and everything, but yeah, it's just one of those things. I'm glad that I have my 100 watt Marshall. If I need the headroom at any point in time, hey, I've got it, you know. But more than likely, for every other purpose, I'm going to use my little 14 watt 1956 Gibson GA40, you know, because I get great tones out of it, not terribly loud. You can just do everything I really want to do with it right now, short of like death metal. Of course, if I had an EQ and would scoop that mid on it, maybe it'd pull that off. I don't know. I'd have to give that a shot sometime. Maybe I need a bigger pedal board. It's a thought. So So anyway, we're walking around there, and there's a guy there with Telecaster bodies stacked up. Just raw wood Telecaster bodies who they've been routed out, and then where the strings come through the body, they've been drilled, so you have that reference point and everything, but none of the other holes have been drilled for, say, the bridge or the neck pocket. And he had a bunch of swamp ash bodies and African mahogany bodies, which were really pretty, and then a ton of what he called barncaster wood. And it was like, it was pine, not, you know, knots and stuff. It was really, had a lot of character. It was really kind of cool. And so I was mainly interested in getting getting a swamp ash body or two. And then I was considering getting one of those African mahogany bodies, maybe get one of each. But I only had $90. He was asking $50 a piece. I thought, man, there's one ash body that was just beautiful. I said, I gotta have that one. And then I was thinking about the mahogany one. But really, you know, sure, I could have thrown in $10 and gotten the extra body and you know, for $100 for two. But I just thought, you know, I'm just gonna go with this. I just got the one. And then, you know, I'm like, this is cool. I'm going to make another, you know, it's another good parts guitar project and so on. And then I'm walking out to put it in the trunk of the car. And I go, man, this is just what I need. Another guitar project. Holy crap. So, I'm just like, come on, man. Oh, what are you doing? So yeah, I've got a Tele body. And my remaining $40, walking around, looking at other stuff, kind of canvassing the area again for a second time through, I was looking for some potential Telecaster parts. And of course, what I was seeing were Telecaster parts from, you know, 60s Telecasters, you know, several hundred dollars for like a bridge or whatever. And I'm like, that's really not my parts guitar. Because, you know, when I do a parts guitar, I want to, you know, find really great deals on individual parts and put it together that way, which is kind of tough because honestly, if you buy or if you have an old Strat or Tele or something like that, and say you could sell it for like $400, more than likely you can get more out of it by parting it out. It's a sad reality because so many people are really into parting out and looking for specific parts or changing, you know, building part guitars or, say, changing a pick guard or a tremolo or a neck or whatever, you know. That's a really cool thing about Fenders is there's so many interchangeable parts between, you know, Strat to Strat and Tele to Tele, and, you know, it just, you can really customize them. However, I'm really kind of a traditionalist when it comes to Strats and Teles. You know, your Strat, I like a sunburst, a black or a white, you know, with the typical white pickguard, or like a faded pickguard or kind of browned or whatever, that sort of thing. And as far as Teles, most of the time, I really like that butterscotch. But anyway, I was looking around for the Tele parts, and I didn't really have a good idea of my inventory of Tele parts at home. I've got a bridge at home, and I'm not really sure how good of a bridge it is. It was just kind of given to me. The base plate, the glue has come undone on the base plate. It's just separated. But it looks decent other than that. So maybe I glue that, meter it and be sure that it's getting signal through. And if it is, then glue that base plate back on and throw it in there eventually, but that's about, I mean, I have some odds and ends, some capacitors, and some potentiometers, not really what I'm looking for this particular guitar, more than likely, but I need to really take inventory of my Tele parts before I start really looking One thing I do know is I don't have a bridge for it. And I'd really like kind of an aged bridge with the three brass barrel bridge. That's what I really want for it. And of course, I need string ferrules. I don't think I have any of those. But anyway, so an exciting new project. I don't remember if I updated everybody last time on my build your own clone tremolo pedal, but that was a project that had been kind of shelved years ago, right before we moved into our new house, and it was shorting out. It would work whenever the circuit board was outside of the case, but when I put it in the case, it would work for like a few seconds, and then the tremolo would kind of go wah 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 wah. So there would be no tremolo, it would just kind of go away. The signal would get through, everything would be fine like that, but it wouldn't work. So I started looking at it and like, man, everything seems fine. And other people on like forums were like, man, you got some stray ends and stuff like that. Clean that up. And I'm like, man, this is really clean. Honestly, this is not bad work. So then what I did was I just took some black rubber foam, which with adhesive on one side, and put it on the back of the circuit board, as I started thinking that more than likely the circuit board was getting shorted out when it was that it was touching the knobs, the potentiometers. And so just on theory, on a whim, I did that and put it in there and plugged it in, and voila, it sounded awesome and I was happy. And so that one is done. All I need to do now is strap some just put some Velcro on the back of it, wire it into my pedal board, and I've got tremolo. I've never had tremolo on a pedal board. That'll be fun. I dig it. So I'll have the tremolo, then I need a flanger and a chorus, and then I'll be done. Done for now, right? For now. Eventually I'm afraid I'm going to have a bigger pedal board. That just stinks. I thought I was done. I thought I was there. But I'm not. It's a never-ending battle, isn't it? It's like, I want this, and I want this. Kind of like Steve Martin in The Jerk. All I need is this overdrive and this wah pedal and volume pedal. No, all I need is this volume pedal, this overdrive, this wah pedal, and this tremolo pedal. You know, it just kind of goes on and on and on from there. So that's kind of where I am. Actually, I'm in a traffic jam. That's where I really am. Awesome. It rains and people forget how to drive. It's amazing. I really, really don't get it. I don't get it at all. So yeah, I posted some photos from the Cincinnati, I mean, not Cincinnati, not that one, the Columbus Guitar Show on Facebook, and it just basically three photos of like a pseudo panoramic. It's not a real panoramic. You have to switch from picture to picture to kind of get it. And it, honestly, it doesn't really illustrate how big, how many people were there, how many. It's overwhelming. I mean, there had to be, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 people there. It seemed like it was almost too much. I really love it if they got into a bigger venue where we're not in there like, you know, like sardines. I was glad to see the turnout. You know, it's kind of a reflection of the attitude on the economy and stuff like that. But, you know, when I was shopping that pedal around, guys were like, you know, you see anything here at your table you like? You know, we could talk about a trade. We could talk about, and several guys were like, you know, I'm willing to do a trade. Nobody has money. Nobody has cash. Nobody wants to spend any money. And I'm like, okay. And then I met up with a guy from Chicago, and we agreed on $90. I'm like, well, this guy's got money. So I think it's kind of the differing attitudes towards what's going on. You know, I think in these times, you got to maintain a positive attitude and a stick-to-itiveness. no matter what you're dealing with, because it, you know, these times make you stronger. Anyway, I digress again. I told you this episode was going to be kind of all over the place and the ramblings of an insane guitar geek, but it was a really, really cool weekend. I had a lot of fun. It was totally like a Lauren weekend, because Friday night I went to the Indy 1500 Gun and Knife Show here in Indianapolis, which is huge. I mean, and I tend to try to go on Friday night instead of Saturday and Sunday, because you're totally in there like sardines on Saturday and Sunday. It's just way too many people for me. And on Friday night, it's not bad. I mean, you don't stay there all day. You probably don't get to see everything, but you know, you kind of know where you're wanting to go and what you're wanting to look for, and you can actually see what you're looking for, because if you run across anything like, you know, AR-15s or pistols, I mean, you're not going to see anything. You're going to have to wait kind of in like a line to get to. It's just way too crowded. But Friday night's the way to go. The Columbus Guitar Show, it's only one day, and it's a big venue, but it's not a huge venue, and it'd be nice if it were bigger. I honestly think it's time to move up to a bigger venue, but that's just me. So then, another photo I posted on Facebook for from the show is a 1971 Gibson Gold Top Les Paul, and it's a deluxe, so it has many humbuckers in it, and it's really in excellent condition. It looked great. I took a photo of it. I was like, because that's the year I was born, so it's like, it should be mine, right? It should totally be mine. And the guy's asking $2,500 for it. I don't know. That's probably a decent price for it. I did not play it. I'm glad I didn't, because then the wheels in my head would have been turning and go, how do I afford this? How can I do this? You know what? You know. I just no. Don't do that. Don't go there, man. Another guitar I saw was a 1962 Fender Stratocaster, and it was, you know, your stereotypical, your prototypical, three-tone sunburst, rosewood fretboard, looked really good, not a lot of wear. He was asking, he had $20,000 written on it, and so I'm learning a little bit that, you know, whenever they're all worn and everything, that's not necessarily, whenever you look in your but like your vintage guitar price guide, that, you know, it says anywhere from like 15 to 20,000 or something like that for a guitar in good or excellent condition and stuff. That one, that particular 62, is probably in that range of the $15,000 to $24,000 range. But if it had been real worn down and everything, then it drops way, way down. Because my understanding is that one I saw at the Indianapolis Guitar Show, or the Indiana Guitar Show, last fall was, I think it went for something like $5,000. Which, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at, you know? But still, it was that's a far cry from what I was thinking it would probably go for. But I'm getting a better understanding of the pricing on vintage guitars, and depending on their condition. So it'd be more like a really cool, good player. They're still not making any of them, and they still sound, you know, they still sound and play probably way better than something off the shelf nowadays. But you know, it's still $5,000 where you can go to your guitar center and spend like $800 and have a really nice guitar. Nobody's messed up, right? And until you do, because that's what we do, right? We're guitar players. We start tinkering. We're tinkerers. So yeah, I wanted to share that one. I was like, man, that's an awesome guitar. That gold top. I wanted it, but I knew better than to pick it up. I showed restraint. Good on me, right? What was really something I really enjoyed about the trip to the show was, I mean, yeah, it's a long drive and everything, but I'm, you know, we're spending almost 6 hours in a car with two other guitar players. You know, it was Mike, who's the owner of Brownsburg Guitar, and Alex, who who's another teacher there at Brownsburg Guitar, and he runs his studio, which I don't know what the name of his studio is. I should post that later on. Love to have him on the show to just talk about studio recording and processes and stuff like that. But it was really cool, as you know, we have all that time just to ramble about, just to talk about guitars and different perspectives from each other. Mike's perspective as a guitar player, and two, as a store owner. You know, he's, you know, trying to do deals and buy and sell and so on. And then Alex, from a perspective of, you know, one, guitar player, guitar teacher, and then looking for gear for his studio. And then, you know, my perspective as just an all-around guitar geek and podcaster and teacher and all that good stuff. But it was really nice listening and talking and sharing ideas and sharing thoughts and everything about amps and guitars and opinions about what people were asking for different guitars. And it was just really, really nice getaway, just a kind of a day trip with the guys. And I highly recommend it. It's kind of like that Chicago trip I took last winter with some buddies. We're planning on doing another trip like that, but to Louisville. And I don't remember the name of the guitar store down in Louisville where they sell Dr. Z. And I think we're going to try to stop in like RS Guitar Works. That'd be super cool. I would love to check them out, see their place. So I think that's the next road trip. Hopefully sometime in February we'll do that, and I'll give you a report, an update on that. Anyway, another thing is that I'm becoming more active on Twitter, which I'm sure you're seeing the alerts on the Facebook page where it says, hey, so-and-so at da-da-da-da, whatever, thanks for following me on Twitter. Well, I've had a Twitter account for quite some time, and basically all I was using it for was following football, like Adam Schefter and Mortensen and guys on ESPN, basically, to get updates on pro football and college prospects and stuff, because I love NFL football. Love pro football. And yes, the Super Bowl is in Indianapolis this year. Oh, man. It's exciting, but I'll be glad when it's passed, honestly. I mean, I don't know. At this point, I'm tired of hearing about it in our being in our city and everything. It just, enough's enough. What I've done is it's less, I'm converting that from less of being a personal Twitter account necessarily and more guitar podcast driven. So, I'm following a lot of guitar companies and guitarists on there, and people are starting to follow me there and everything. So basically those two accounts, the Facebook, the Guitar Podcast Facebook page, as well as the Twitter account, those are linked up. Those are very similar, almost one and the same. So if I post something on Twitter, it's going to go right there to the Guitar Podcast page. So yeah, some more robust material will be on Facebook, but yeah, I'm going to be tweeting things, and so if you want to follow on Twitter, follow on Twitter. If you don't, no big deal. I love the conversations we've gotten going on the Facebook page, just different things. Talked a lot about pickups here recently, and I need to talk more about those on a future podcast. But anyway, this pretty much wraps it up. I'm parked at the parking lot. I made it through the traffic jam and all that good stuff. I guess when you get a traffic jam on one of these mobile podcasts, you get a longer episode. How do you like that? I did ask the group about, kind of did a poll on if you wanted like a once a week, continue a once a week episode, but extend it to maybe an hour long or longer, a longer episode, or if you wanted about the same amount of time per episode, but more frequent during the week, so like two or more. So on average, more than likely, you'd get more content each week if I did it more, if I put out like two or more episodes at, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40 minutes long. So anyway, you know, my vote was to do more of them, but I had more votes towards just continuing once a week, but having longer episodes. So what I'm going to definitely try to do is do longer episodes. I need to put more content out. I want to do some more videos. But feel free and chime in on the Facebook page. If you scroll down, probably a lot further now since it's been more than a week that I posted that poll out there, or just email me directly. I don't care. That's fine. Or post on the Facebook page. You know, what you would prefer, you know, and you know, if you prefer just a once a week longer episode, or if you'd prefer, you know, continue the same relative length of episode but more frequently, a couple times a week. You may get that anyway, just because there's so many things I want to talk about and so many different projects I'm working on with guitars and stuff. So yeah, I just want to hear from you. So that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. And if you like it, if you like what you're listening to, share it on Facebook, like it on the Facebook page, and talk about it on, or provide feedback on iTunes or Zoom and so on and so forth. You know, other people get to know about it. Anyway, this is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.